This is Aces on the Air.
They got the bucket. A Turnbull came from the weak side and recycled the shot. A game-saving play by Turnbull.
The official podcast for Evansville Athletics.
Ground ball to the right side. McGinnis Fields. He throws the first. They've done it! For the first time in program history, Evansville has won a regional. The Purple Aces are off to the Sweet 16.
Aces on the Air is brought to you by Taroni's Pizzeria and Brewery. Claim a $3 off voucher at any 2025-2026 UE athletic event on campus.
The turn on to first. Two! A double play! And it's ball game! Evansville fans have won in 18 long years! For the first time since 2006, the Aces are Missouri Valley Conference Tournament Champions!
Every episode of Aces on the Air is available on Spotify, Apple, and online at GoPurpleAces.com.
Elevates on a three. It's an air ball.
Wow.
And the Aces have gone the road to Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky, and stunned the number one Wildcats 67-64. They shock college basketball this Tuesday night.
Now, here's the voice of the Aces, Jevin Redmond.
From the Purple Aces Sports Network, this is Aces on the Air, brought to you by Taroni's and powered by Learfield. I'm Jevin Redmond. Episode 49 this week is a special guest, a former ace of herself. It's Krista Blunk, who is now doing quite a bit of broadcasting work on the national stage. She played back here in Evansville from 1989 until 1993 as a four-year starter. Talk about her playing days, both at Evansville, and she's also from the area, Tell City High School, and now doing great work on the national stage, as I mentioned, broadcasting. So, Krista, thanks for joining us this week, episode 49. I know this is a busy time of the year for you, but also a fun time of the year.
Yeah, you're right. Thanks for having me, Jevin. I really appreciate it. And it is, it's a fun time. This is that, busy time for, players, coaches, everybody, and broadcasters as well. So, but it's also that point of, this is why you're playing. This is why you do this. And this is where it starts to get fun.
I mentioned you're doing quite a bit of broadcasting work, and you're the TV voice of the Las Vegas Aces and the WNBA, but also you're covering women's basketball on several platforms. Just kind of tell us all the roles you have and what the next few weeks looks like for you.
Yeah, I'm heading out tomorrow. I'm finishing up regular season. I'm doing a West Coast Conference game, and that one will be with ESPN. But I also work with the Big Ten Network and Fox, and I cover a lot of the Big Ten. That'll be a tournament play starting next week in Indianapolis. So I'll have several rounds there, and then I'll jump into some other conference play with ESPN out west, and then it's NCAA tournament time. So we haven't been told yet where we'll be going for that. So that's always fun too, scrambling and getting your travel and getting set. So I don't have a charter of my own, so I'm like everybody else trying to get there. But it is exciting. That's part of the anticipation of what teams are in, what seeds will they be, where will you be going? It's really exciting, and those first 16 sites, no one knows yet for certain. You have an idea, but it's pretty exciting time. So that's what's ahead. And then softball is weaving its way in. College softball's already started as well. So it's fun. It's an adrenaline rush at its best.
What led you into this career? Obviously, you grew up playing sports. You're part of the game. You played college and professionally. What made you want to transition into a broadcaster?
Way back, it's hard to believe because it's grown so much as far as this industry, and especially for women in this business. But when I played at Evansville, I hadn't really declared my major. And some people that are from that area are gonna recognize this name. But Bob Buck used to be the voice of the Evansville Aces, and he had approached me saying, "Hey, come call some soccer games with me. Some soccer matches. Come call some of the sports things when you can. I know you're playing." And so he twisted my arm and got me to go out and cover some different sports with him and with the radio station there at UV. And I was kind of hooked. It was in my mind at the time, there weren't a lot of women that were working in the industry. I mean, there were some, but not a lot. And in my mind, I thought, I wasn't sure if I'd play after. I thought maybe I'd be a coach. I really hadn't decided, but I knew if that was a path I could go in, it was a way to stay involved with sports because I just grew up playing every sport imaginable, and I just loved it. And I thought, my dad had always said, find a job that doesn't feel like a job, right? So this was one of those ways. I thought, this is a way to stay involved in something that at least I love, and I know there's going to be some work to it, and there has been some work to it, but when it's been there, I'm just incredibly lucky.
I know these next several weeks you'll be all over the place. So this isn't maybe a typical next couple of weeks for your job, but just take us through kind of what a typical week looks like in terms of game prep. Now, I wasn't good to play college or pro basketball, but growing up playing sports, I always enjoyed kind of the preparation for the opponent. And now as a broadcaster, I enjoy that aspect just as much as calling the game. So just take us through kind of what your prep looks like leading up to a broadcast.
Everybody has their different style and what they do. And I've been in different roles, as you mentioned, play by play mostly now, but as a sideline or courtside reporter, as an analyst. As an analyst, I would say I watch a little more video than I typically do for play by play. Play by play, definitely more, player bios, names, numbers, all that sort of thing. Stories, to be able to, have a conversation with your analyst. Analysts are really breaking it down a little bit more in detail, really watching sets, what these teams do. And then as a courtside and reporter, a sideline reporter, it's very different prep. So as a play-by-play person this week, I am creating bio sheets for every team. You're contacting the sports information departments. You're pulling notes to get information. You're pulling stats to kind of see who's playing, who's doing what, who's at, maybe out. You're making contacts. So depending if a team isn't going to have a shoot around, can we set up a Zoom? Can we set up a quick conference call? Can we talk to the coach just to get an idea of what's going on at this time? So there's a lot of behind the scenes work that goes into it. You're connecting with your analysts, your producers, your directors. Everybody's connecting. So there's a lot of things happening behind the scenes, but mainly it's, getting caught up on what's been going on, especially when you're jumping in and out of different conferences, trying to keep up with, what's been going on in that conference, and what to look forward to, especially with conference tournament coming up.
You've covered a lot of different things in your different roles, but I see you've done some Olympic coverage as well for NBC. Where does that rank in terms of things you've done in your broadcasting career, and what exactly did you cover in the Olympics?
Yeah, Jevin, I always wanted to be an Olympian. That didn't happen, but this was a goal. I will tell you that I reached out to them for, oh my goodness, 20 years maybe, trying to get in. I just the ability to cover sports at that level, just I've always been a follower of the games and wanted to cover it. So I ended up getting the call to do it. My first time was it was the Tokyo Games. So not this past summer, not the 2024, but prior to that, right after COVID, which was also very tricky. But I did end up going to Tokyo. Many of us were in Connecticut, which is where the NBC main offices are. And they had built, because of COVID also, just separate booths, and they have an incredible setup there. And so you're calling these games on screens. But it was still really exciting. You're placed with a former Olympian as your analyst that knows the ins and outs of the sport. I was put on what they call the swing team, which meant, and I was working a swing shift because we were opposite time zones basically of Tokyo. So we would get in at 10 p.m. at night, and we would work through the morning until about 6 or 7 in the morning. But swing team meant I was covering about 7 different sports, but luckily I had some time. Two primary sports. Judo was my primary sport, and then artistic swimming, which is the former synchronized swimming. And then there were these other rifle, and I did a triathlon. Just a variety of different sports in there. So you had some general idea, but the research department was incredible. But I knew my two base sports: judo, and then the swimming. So I had to definitely be up to speed on that. And it was really amazing to see these different sports at different levels, but deep dive into the main ones and then get the general ideas and really lean heavily on your analysts. But just incredible. And then this past Olympics, I was covering just a couple of sports, the 3x3 basketball, which was such a blast. And then I also did climbing, so the rock climbing. And so that was a new experience as well. But because of the time frame with the WNBA, it was a little trickier, and I was a little nervous about trying to take on so many different sports. I wanted to make sure I could hone in at least on a game that had the same kind of ball that I knew. So that was helpful. But I can't even tell you how incredible it is to cover and to work with these athletes and to watch. It doesn't matter what sport. I mean, you just got done probably watching the Winter Olympics, right? And so I wasn't a speed skater or anything, but watching these athletes, it's just incredible. And to be able to cover them, just what a blast.
We're going to work backwards here for a second. So you grew up in the Tri-State area. You went to Tell City High School. I know you played basketball and also volleyball. Did you play other sports in addition to those two growing up? I guess what was life like for you as a kid in Tell City?
You had to get out of the house usually, so you had to go play sports and do fun things. But yes, I was lucky enough to have softball leagues. So in the summer, my sister and I and all of our friends, we all played on softball teams. But I also played tennis in high school. I did a little track and field in junior high and decided it wasn't going to be my thing. But I wanted to do something in the spring because at that time there were AAU teams, but it wasn't like it is now. You're not travel ball year round. But I'm really thankful for that. It was a chance to just do different things and not put so much stress on one thing. And as I got older, then AAU came into play and you started to focus it a little bit more. But high school tennis, and I enjoyed that. It was fun to be outside and learn a different sport. And it also, I think, enabled me to learn about other sports and to have an appreciation and be able to cover a variety of things now as I'm working in the broadcast business.
So you decide, obviously, to come to the University of Evansville, play college ball here. You were a 4-year starter, scored over 1,000 points in your career. What was it about Evansville that kind of stood out that you wanted to play and stay close to home?
It's funny, when I first started being recruited early in high school, in your mind, you think, I'm going to go far away. I'm going to go to all these other places, right? And you're watching different teams and programs, Tennessee or UCLA or wherever you think you're going to go, Auburn, Virginia, all these teams that were really good back in the day, Ohio State. But as you start to kind of figure things out and sift through it, I narrowed it down to Evansville or Xavier. They were both in the same conference at the time. And in talking with my parents and just, you kind of just decide it's a great school. When you start to do your visits, I really appreciated the coaches. I really appreciated the community. And I wanted my family and friends to be able to come watch as many games as they could. And you just figured out this is a way that they could do that. If I go far away, they're not going to get to go to as many. And it was important to me to have the community. And just right from the get-go, just that environment, going to campus, going to local restaurants and places nearby, it just felt like home and it felt good. And I just, when I made the decision, I knew that was where I was going.
Do you get to follow so much on your busy schedule, but how much do you still follow the Purple Aces now?
I do. I make sure I've got my phone set up. I get all the updates. I know what's happening. I shoot, Robin, I'll shoot her a message or two. We'll send a text or an email. If, big overtime win, how exciting just recently for the women on the women's side. And so I definitely try to keep up with it and watch it. One of these days I'm going to get there and get to cover one of those games, I'm hoping. But, I really do try to keep up, and I'm still such a big fan. I want that program and those programs there at Evansville to succeed, and I'm always excited when I see them making their way through postseason play.
What are your thoughts on this year's team? I've been able to cover a couple of their games on TV, and they've been very enjoyable to watch. We've seen the growth from a lot of freshmen and sophomores. It is a younger team. Just what are your thoughts on this year's group and the job Robin has done as the head coach?
I think they're really fun. I think that there's a really high ceiling for this group. The talent level that I've watched Robin bring in now over several seasons, it's really been impressive. They're fun. They are young. You can see the progress though, as you kind of started to see preseason, and now you're starting to see them get into conference play. It's a really tough competitive experience conference. I think there's a lot of potential, and I really hope this is an impressive core group. And if she can keep this group together, I think they have a really bright future. I think they can absolutely win the conference with this group. Scoring ability, physicality, some size, some quickness. I think it's a great combination of players. And I think she's really done an exceptional job. It's really difficult at smaller Division I programs. Look at the competition. Look at all the incredible programs right in that area. And academically, it's not simple to get just any athlete that you want to come in. It is not an easy recruit. And it's really, I think, impressive what she's been able to do.
Obviously, the college game today is way different than it was when you played back in the 90s in many different areas, but especially with NIL and in fundraising to try to get money to retain players. And in your role, you see a lot of bigger programs. Just how important is it to retain these athletes? And it comes down to fundraising dollars. Just from your viewpoint, how important is that?
Yeah, Jevin, it is very different, and it's crucial. And I was just in a conversation with a really, top Power Four program coach who is, you would think, having it all done for her, but that is not always the case. They are out going to businesses. I think the most important thing too is if you do it the right way, and I know with their program, getting corporations to back these athletes, but also the athletes then going into the community and what can they do in the community. And I'm seeing that, you know, now I'm based in Salt Lake City, the University of Utah here, they're very community driven. What can these student athletes do? How can they go back and get back to their communities and to these businesses? And it's really fun when you see it working well. It is tricky. There are no guidelines to it. Every program does it differently, and every program has a different amount of revenue share and money that they are bringing together. But if you don't retain and keep some of these athletes, you're basically just a practice organization to help them go somewhere else. And that's not obviously what anybody wants. As we've seen in through the men's game as well over time, you know, a lot of the top programs would have a one and done, right? One season and done. And you started to see Butler, and you started to see some of these, what they would call mid-major kind of programs, they'd have more success. And the reason why, they are keeping their student athletes for multiple years together. And the chemistry that you build and the community that you build and the support around it, that's where they are getting their success.
I know talking with some fans, their viewpoint is, hey, we want to give money for facilities or the operating budget, things that maybe last longer than what NIL does, because that is a year-by-year thing in terms of raising money to pay your players. Maybe kind of a tough question, but would you view that as far as fundraising for NIL more important than giving money in other places in today's game?
I think it's very important from a recruiting standpoint. I mean, the difference, and I've seen it in all different conferences, the programs that don't put the money into the facilities. I mean, imagine walking into, you know, a major facility and seeing that, you know, you're going to be taken care of from a athletic, you know, training department to your locker room, feeling confident, going in and knowing, yes, I have my own space and my own place, and I can relax and I can get my studying done. As I mean, I remember going in to some high-level men's programs, even covering some men's hoops, and they didn't even hardly have chairs for the players in their locker room. Okay. So, I mean, you know, the difference of a potential student athlete coming in and seeing a beautiful, amazing facility to be a part of, and having pride in that, right? As opposed to, let's see if we can find you a chair. You know, there's a big difference. And so all of those things are important, you know, with any of us as alums that give back or any corporations that give, there are so many ways to help. And so there's just some alums or some donors that don't really want to get involved, let's say with NIL, and I see that, but they want the volleyball team to make sure they have a sport court or, you know, whatever it is. It all matters, and it's all very important.
What is one moment or memory you still carry with you to this day, whether it be from your playing days here at Evansville, it could be playing Indiana High School basketball at Tell City. Is there one certain moment or memory you still carry with you today?
Oh yeah, I mean, there were so many. Honestly, you know, when your college days are so, they're just memorable. Your teammates, the things that you did together, but the big wins. You know, when I played, Notre Dame was in our conference all 4 years. My senior year, we finally beat them. So they had beaten up on us for 4 years. We did finally beat them my senior year. That one will never go away in my mind. The last game that you play, my last game was at Notre Dame in conference play. But the friendships, just going and doing fun things in the community, I mean, those things stand out. Just walking around campus and just being part of it. Those memories are gonna last forever, right? So they're stuck with me. But beating Notre Dame, beating Louisville that senior year, those were pretty fun moments.
You're the TV voice of the Las Vegas Aces and the WNBA. I guess you just follow teams that are aces, right?
I thought it was meant to be. That's exactly what I thought. You know, we were coming off of COVID. It's funny because this industry got hit pretty hard. You know, you're sitting around thinking, okay, this won't last that long. And then suddenly you realize, I might not be working for a while. What's going to happen, right? So I had worked in the WNBA. I had been with the Sacramento organization for all of their years. When it went away, I was bouncing kind of in and out of WNBA work, but I hadn't been with a team again. And right after COVID, the Las Vegas Aces position became available, and I thought, I think this was meant to be. This was meant to be for me. So yeah, I try to, you know, bring success with any Aces team I can.
Well, you've done your job with Las Vegas, what, three championships in the last 4 years? I guess it's the play-by-play broadcaster,
Jim, I hate to take credit for it
right?
all, but there might be something to it. I think there might be something to it. Yeah,
Of
it's
course,
been
there
great.
is a local player in the Las Vegas Aces, and Jackie Young. She went to Princeton High School, played at Notre Dame as well, and has won at just about every single level possible in her career. How cool is it for you being from the Tri-State area now broadcasting another Tri-State athlete, Jackie Young, on a national stage?
It is such a blast. Jackie is such a wonderful human, and she has always been kind of that quiet assassin, but she's starting to come out of her shell a little bit more. We're seeing a little more personality from Jackie. I love it. I love the accolades. I love any time. We did a preseason game last year at Notre Dame. And so local community people were able to come in, and specifically both for her and Arike Ogunbowale plays for the Dallas team, who also played at Notre Dame. They were teammates, so they got to play each other in a preseason game. I thought it was what a great idea. Local community, fans from Indiana, just filled the house, so it's fun to see Jackie. She's so humble. She'll just get this little smile on her face after she just kills the opponent, but she's really a stellar human, both on and off the court, and that's what's really fun to just kind of watch her kind of get some praise that maybe she was maybe in the shadows a little bit at times behind some other greats, but it's really fun to get to know her even more.
All right, Chris, let's finish up with this. Again, this is a fun time of the year for everybody, broadcasters, fans, coaches, players. What are you looking forward to most about this next 3 or 4 week stretch in your job?
I think it's going to be tough for bubble teams, unfortunately, because there is so much depth and parity in every single conference. I really believe that there will be upsets in every single conference tournament, which is going to send an automatic bid, which is going to take some of the other teams, which is a very good thing. But some of those bubble teams are probably going to get knocked out. I think on the women's side, it's going to be really fun to see. For now, Connecticut has said we are the best team in the nation. I've covered them a couple times now. They are an incredible team. They really, really are. Oh, they've had so many. But there, I just had UCLA, South Carolina, Texas. There's so many great teams. I think there are going to be some major upsets, and I think it is not going to be easy to go undefeated this year. And so we'll see if they can do it. They are, to me, the team to beat right now. But there's a lot of teams that are saying we're right there and we're capable. So it's going to be fun to see which teams make it out of their conference tournaments. They're predicting right now I'm going to be covering the Big Ten tournament. 12 teams potentially out of the Big Ten going to the NCAA. I mean, it's just remarkable. They broke that record last year. They're going to try to tie it again this year, and I think they can do it. So, oh my goodness, the talent is just enormous right now, and it's so incredible to see where this game is right now. It's just I just sit back sometimes and shake my head and say, yeah, finally, right?
Well, good luck with your coverage. Also, good luck with your travel schedule. I can't imagine that's got to be a little bit stressful, right? You mentioned, hey, you don't have a charter flight. Maybe one of these days you'll get your private plane. I would imagine that's
Yeah.
pretty stressful, right? All the travel.
It is pretty stressful, especially if you've been through some pretty wacky weather lately. You're getting some storms. Right now I'm staying a little bit west, but I know I'm going to be heading your way not too far in the near future. So travel is probably the most stressful thing that I deal with my work. So once I can get to the arena, it's a piece of cake. But yeah, it's the travel part that tests me and tests my strength and my patience.
Well, Krista, thanks for your time. We appreciate your continued support of the Purple Aces and best luck in the coming weeks with your coverage.
All right, Jim, thanks so much, and good luck to all the Aces teams as they head into the postseason, too.
That wraps up episode 49 with Krista Blunk. I'm Jevin Rebin. This has been Aces on the Air, brought to you by Troney's and powered by Learfield.
I was ordering food for the office from the same few places for too long.
For workplaces suffering with office food fatigue, every day is a struggle.
Before starting Easy Cater, I assumed having no good vegan options for Carl in finance was normal.
Easy Cater is designed to treat OFF with a huge variety of favorite restaurants, plus tools to help you meet dietary needs and stay on budget. Used daily, one platform lets you save time and shine. Ask your app store about Easy Cater or start an order at easycater.com.